Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
We are back and continuing talking about what happened in Vegas. In this case, did not stay in Vegas. Ben Portnoy, the new college reporter for the Sports Business Journal. You may remember Ben. We used to see him when we dropped by Columbia. But he's moving on up. How are you, Ben?
Doing well, Paul. Thanks for having me.
So this you've been covering this beat now for a couple of months, but this seemed to be the big moment. Not only was Charlie Baker on stage at your group's event, but you were able to conduct a number of important interviews. Take us through your experience in Vegas.
Yeah, definitely a lot going on, starting with Charlie Baker's proposal that dropped the other day, sort of pointing to some kind of creation of a subdivision or some kind of adjacent thing that will allow schools to jump in and be able to pay players more directly. Now, that'll come over a couple of sports, sort of depending on what schools are willing to invest. And, you know, President Baker spoke a good bit about that at our conference this past week. Outlined at least a few of the details beyond just the proposal, but I think, you know, is something that's on the mind of everyone in college athletics right now, whether that's athletes, coaches, or people in administrative chairs. And I think it's a start at the very least for a conversation that I think has been ongoing and will continue to be ongoing for a long time now.
There was a lot of reaction, but you had a chance to talk to some of the people that matter most in this platform. So let's go back a couple of days and take us out to Vegas and share with us not only what they said, but how you felt about how they said it.
Yeah, you know, the one thing that really stuck out to me was I moderated a panel with a handful of the Power Five commissioners and Greg Sankey, Brett Yormark, and Jim Phillips from the ACC. And, you know, one thing that Brett Yormark said that I thought really stood out was, you know, in so many words, said the devil's in the details, and that there's still a lot of details to be worked out with this proposal that President Baker put out there. And I think that, you know, the big thing is that this is a start. It's a place where the NCAA has said, look, we're going to go against our history, basically, and say that, you know, we were wrong, or mea culpa, or whatever you want to call it. And that we need to start paying athletes, or given an ability for schools to pay athletes more directly. Now, again, a proposal is one thing. Actual action and, you know, ratifying such a thing takes a lot more than just putting out a proposal sort of under the cover of night and then coming onto a stage and talking about it. But I think what, you know, Brett Yormark said is, look, it's a starting point. It's not a finish line. And I think that was one of those things that really stuck out to me. The other thing that kind of stuck out was, you know, the previous day I moderated a panel with a handful of the Group of Five commissioners, and they mentioned one of the folks that mentioned something was Gloria Navarez from the Mountain West. And she said, you know, the creation of a subdivision, and the word subdivision can be a little bit triggering, I think, for some of those folks in those chairs. And I think that, you know, when you talk about the growing divide between the G5 and the Power Five and the spending there, I mean, we're seeing it right now with Washington State and Oregon State and what happened with them. I think there's a lot of folks that are on pins and needles, maybe just in terms of what this would actually look like and whether it would create another bigger divide between some of the Power Five schools and some of the G5 schools if it was enacted, you know, tomorrow. But there's obviously a lot to happen between now and then.
Ben, I'm particularly curious about a couple of other things. I've had the honor and opportunity a couple of times through your boss to moderate a panel or two at that event, be on a panel. What I've always found unique is that you have all these people that we read about in a room, converging in the outer rooms, grabbing coffee or whatever. Take us into those rooms. I'm not asking you to violate some secret code unless you'd like to. But what's it like to be around the people that really shape the message in college athletics?
Yeah, you know, I joked with someone the other day. It's kind of feels like the first day of camp, right? Or the first day of school or whatever it is, right? There's people that you see all throughout the year and you talk to all throughout the year, and all of a sudden everyone's in the same room. And there's only so many weeks a year that happens, or so many days a year when that happens. And I think it's, you know, it's really interesting because I think you're able to get perspective from a lot of people, whether that's on or off the record. You're able to chat with people who, you know, are different leagues, different conferences, different, you know, sides of the country. And you can kind of gather all these folks and all these thought leaders in one place. And I think it's a really nice way to kind of converge on a few of the big topics that are happening in college sports right now. And certainly there's a lot of change going on, whether that's NIL, the transfer portal, you know, conference realignment, et cetera. And I think that this was a week where, whether it was, you know, standing in the green room waiting for my panel to start or other panels to start, or just hanging out, having a cup of coffee, you know, running into administrators, people on the sort of periphery of the business, you know, agents, people like that. You get a chance to really catch up with a lot of people sort of all at once over the course of 48 hours. And obviously in a place like Vegas, it's a really fun, fun place to do that.
As far as what's a buzz, I mean, other than Baker, I realized that was like a bomb going off, but prior to Baker's story coming out, what were the lead conversations? What were people talking about for the most part?
Yeah, you know, one thing that really stuck out to me was MAC Commissioner John Steinbrecher really went off about the transfer waiver process. And I think that, you know, a handful of the other G5 commissioners jumped in on that as well. And I think that that's something that I think there's a lot more frustration about for people than, you know, maybe is let on. I think the North Carolina situation was one that was particularly messy, obviously, earlier this year with Tez Walker. And, you know, certainly drew a lot of ire from North Carolina and Bubba Cunningham, Mac Brown. And others at North Carolina. But I think there's a lot of people, and Steinbrecher falls in this category of someone who's been on NCAA committees for a long time and saw that as sort of, for lack of a better term, as a cheap shot. And I think that is something that, you know, you can blame the NCAA, because the NCAA is a punching bag for a lot of people. And I get that, and rightfully so at times. But I think that this transfer waiver process is one that I think has created a lot of issues. And I think there's, you know, not necessarily lack of transparency, but I think that it's one of those things that as soon as there's a lot of people who are in favor of it, there was a lot of people who are in favor of tightening that process and not giving out as many waivers. But, you know, those folks that then get the hammer brought down on them aren't necessarily happy with the outcome. And it's this funny sort of catch-22 of you want more rules in place and you want this to be enforced, and then the NCAA gets hammered for enforcing its rules. And I think that, you know, that was something to me that kind of stuck out as has been a sort of a subplot for a lot of this season, especially with the Tez Walker thing. And once that got sort of resolved on some level, we might have moved past it. But I do think there's some real frustration with that process, whether that's with administrators, coaches, and more. And I think that, you know, that's not something that I think is going to go away necessarily. And I think it's only going to get more complicated as more waivers are turned down and more lawsuits are filed.
Ben, you've gone from covering Shane Beamer to covering the entire complexities of college athletics. What a journey you've been on.
It's definitely been crazy. I was joking the other day that, yeah, I think my first week on this job was uncovering sort of the larger landscape was when SMU, Cal, and Stanford jumped into the ACC. So it was certainly a you know, jump in the deep end and get it going, because it's been pretty crazy. But it's a lot going on, a lot of fun, and certainly no limit to what we can cover in this moment. There's a lot happening right now.
Well, I think I read your piece when Carolina played North Carolina at the opening of the season, and so you at least were able to partake in his nearly maniacal raging about the chain gang having hot dogs at halftime instead of catering to his every need in yet another loss. So we miss your coverage, but we're really glad to have you in the SBJ. It's fantastic. Give all your colleagues a hello from us. What an amazing event that has turned out to be every year.
Definitely. Thanks so much, Paul. Really appreciate you having me, and always great to catch up.
See you soon. Ben Portnoy from the Sports Business Journal. His boss, Abe Madcore, has really become one of the most influential people in the entire industry of intercollegiate athletics through conferences like that and through his daily publication and weekly magazine. We'll take a short break, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hey, welcome back. We are back to the calls, and Elliot is up next in Ohio. Hello, Elliot.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. I have a solution for all the conspiracy theories out there if you want to hear it.
Sure.
Yeah, the situation was that everybody across the board knew that Bama was going to beat Georgia. They talked about it for weeks. They talked about it so much they put money on the game. And you know why? It's because Georgia was overrated the entire year. They should have been rated not on their history. They should have been rated on the conference and on their play. I mean, LSU, Florida, Bama, they all got beat by teams outside the conference. The conference was down. If Georgia had been rated lower, this whole decision about the four best would have been much, much different. And everybody knows it, and that's why everybody's pissed off, Paul.
Well said. Thanks, Elliot. Don't agree, but well said. Ronnie is in Ohio. Hello, Ronnie.
Yeah, can you hear me, Paul?
I sure can.
Okay, well, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
My question to you, Paul, if the committee a few years back would have went to 4 playoff teams, will we still be going to 12 next year?
Okay, so you're saying had they expanded the playoff
earlier,
before 2014, is that correct?
Yes, I mean,
I think I understand that. Yeah, I think the answer is still yes. It's like a drug. Anytime you go to 2, then you go to 4, you're going to want more. And the simple reason why you want more is that everybody who is reluctant starts cashing those big network checks.
Yeah, the revenues. Okay. And second thing, I got 2 things I want to say. That running back from Kentucky that rushed for over 1,000 yards for 3 different teams, he must be one quite a great athlete.
Yeah, I think you have to be. I think he is a great athlete, and I think you have to be to do what he did. Hey, thank you very much for the call. We go from Ohio to New York. Hello, Jerry. Good afternoon.
Happy holidays, Paul. Good afternoon.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I believe the people in Florida should stop whining and get a little more responsible. Nobody likes rejection, but it is like it is. Like you said, it's by committee, so you never know what they're going to do. I don't know if you agree with me or not.
Well, my second point is, you have to understand how committees work, and I think that's the misnomer here for many people.
I agree. And my second point is, what nobody's been bringing up, I think you were one of the few, is who the heck has Michigan played to be rated so highly anyway? They've only beaten a good Ohio State team and a fairly good Penn State team. Beyond that, there is nothing else.
Yeah, Michigan was number three until 2 weeks ago. That's the committee thought very little of them, but the two teams ahead of them both lost.
And, you know, and I heard what the gentleman said about, you know, the rankings with Georgia. Well, it's possible because I don't really know how they even rank some of these teams to begin with based upon who they're playing. They're not going by strength of schedule, so I don't know how they're doing this.
Well, I think Georgia was seriously hurt by not having to play a major game early on like everyone else. And they had the game on the schedule. It's been explained to me by the commissioner, by the athletic directors. I still don't understand why they couldn't make it work at a neutral site. Georgia needed to be tested in the first couple of weeks of the season when they were sleepwalking around playing. Who were they playing? UAB and who was the game the second week? Georgia.
I can't recall. I watched so much football, I can't recall all these games.
South Carolina was their first big game, and we read a lot into that, except South Carolina had a subpar year, Jerry. Thank you for the call. Yeah, their first four games were UT Martin, Ball State, South Carolina, and UAB. And that is why when they played at Auburn, they were somewhat out of sync. They got it together, though. They beat Kentucky convincingly. Vanderbilt was the game that Bowers got hurt in, and that still bugs me a lot. Nelson is up next. Hello, Nelson.
Hey, Paul, huge fan of your show. Shout out to legend. JK's the worst. Roll Tide. I am curious about your picture on your mantle. Is it original?
Yes. Someone, and I have the name elsewhere, but someone did that picture a couple of years ago, and I think they handed it to us one day at some event.
Okay. I want one, and how can we get Daniel Moore to make us a reprint?
Well,
thanks for taking my call. I'm going to hang up and listen.
I think Daniel just needs to make an original. I think Daniel could do an original, and let him... I think he's capable, and just show me on ESPN trashing FSU. Ah. Call it the moment. Yeah, Jamari said there'd be a lot to choose from. I could help you out on that. Johnny B is up next.
What's up, Paul? I think that would be a great idea to get a new portrait and me and you be in it and both of us have on some cowboy hats, and that'd be a good look.
Yes, sir.
What I have here is a little present for the FSU fans, and it's blow, blow, Seminole wind. FSU thought they were relevant again. Blow, blow, Seminole wind. Nobody respects that weak conference you're
Johnny
in.
Anderson.
So roll on over to the Orange Bowl. Be glad you're not playing the Tide. Be sure to give out plenty crying towels to all those new fans on your side. Roll Tide.
Love it.
You
know, I always thought, did you like John Anderson? I thought he was an underrated performer. He had Seminole Wind, Tequila Night. Oh, this is going to, what's that song? This is going to, this is going to be a tequila. I'm not that big of that genre fan, but he had three or four really good songs. Seminole Wind by far in the upper echelon. Rocky is up next.
Yes, sir. How you doing, Paul?
We are doing great.
Good deal. I just got something to say about the FSU fans crying and complaining about not being in. And say they're undefeated and Alabama lost one, Texas lost one. If Alabama would have played FSU's schedule, they would be undefeated. If Ole Miss would have played FSU's schedule, they would be undefeated. What do you think about that?
I mean, you can look at it. By the way, there are a lot of SEC schools that would have been undefeated in the ACC.
Right. You know, that's what I'm saying.
However, nothing we say about the ACC is a surprise. And you're all acutely aware of the school that recognized them sooner than we did, and that was FSU. That's why they That's why they staged that one-day outburst a couple of months ago, talking about how unhappy they were in the revenue share in that league. Thanks for the call. Chris is in Tuscaloosa. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call, and roll Merry Friday Tide.
Thank you.
So I just want to tell you that with this call, I successfully completed my three-peat, unlike Georgia this year.
Glad to hear it.
Hey, the reason I called in, and I was talking when I joined in, we were trying to come up. I've been curious about a certain stat, and I guess I'll put this out to the whole audience if need be. But has there ever been a coach, any coach over his entire career that's beat Nick Saban twice in the same season?
I believe it happened in the NFL, but we're still.
Yep.
It didn't happen a second year because he beat Belichick one of the two times, but there has to.
Yep.
Okay.
They're probably in the NFL.
Eric, I think we have it. Eric Mangini, who was the Jets coach for about a week. Dick Geron from the Bills did it too. Two of the most anonymous coaches you've ever heard of did it. And Bill Belichick, I don't think did, or did he? Bill Belichick did not do it.
And you know what? This is what I've always told people when I hear this, you know, from other fans or whatever, like, you might catch him once, but you're not going to catch him again. Like, Saban keeps receipts, and he for sure returns.
What happened?
By the way,
those two guys who did, look at them now.
Yep, exactly. Sabanated, right?
Yeah.
But it's so I have two things, right? I know we've talked about all these different things and the stats and the analysis, but did y'all, I'm sure you saw it, the reaction video of the Michigan Wolverines when it was announced that they were playing
Bama. They
were
not happy. By the way, you know the answer to this. Alabama fans do know, but I think there's only one person that's ever beaten, well, in college football. I'm sure in the pros there were more, but the only guy that ever beat Spurrier twice in the same season.
Yeah. Yeah. So let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Paul, right? Doesn't Michigan's reaction kind of validate that the committee got it right? Because if FSU had been announced, I think Michigan would have been cheering.
In theory, it does, but I don't think you can.
Well, yeah,
you
can't
use
that
as a data point that Michigan fans groaned.
No, but
let's be honest. The Miami Dolphins would groan if they found that they had to play Alabama in the first round of the playoffs. We'll take a short break, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It'll be one to watch though these next few weeks.
We're back. Friday afternoon. Lance is up next in Tallahassee. Hello, Lance.
Good afternoon, Paul. Change of tactic here. Has it been a good week for you with everybody calling about FSU? I mean, it's got to make the week go by fast because what is the over-under, if you had not had this week, of diehard Alabama fans calling in and asking, Paul, what do you think is going to happen between Alabama and Michigan? Would that number be in the hundreds or the thousands between now and the game?
It would be astronomical, but there's always next week.
Well, we hope we helped you out a little bit because the ESPN is for entertainment, and we enjoy the show in Tallahassee. We might not always agree with you,
Have you ever thought about after the season's over, you become Andy Cohen and put out the real, you know, you have the Real Housewives of Atlanta, all of these other places. Have you ever thought of doing a reality show with all the characters you have? I mean, I wouldn't put them on a boat because somebody would get thrown over
my
boat.
In fact, about 5 years ago, there was a Hollywood scriptwriter who bought the rights to develop a program, a sitcom off of the show. It was actually sold 4 years ago to ABC, and they got a actor and they were putting it together, and I was going to go out and spend a moderate amount of time as one of the executive producers, and COVID happened, and the entire world of Hollywood has been turned upside down. So that is really on pause, but I've never thought about the reality show, though, which is a much better idea. So you have people play themselves.
I don't know what you would call it, the Real Rednecks.
Wasn't it Squirrel who had the idea to do a Survivor-like show?
Because we do enjoy the characters you have on the show.
Well, hey, thank you very much. And Lance, I'm always amazed, considering I worked for a television network who's connected to one of the four major television networks, and there are people in Hollywood that are aware of the show because I've spent about five trips to Hollywood meeting with executives. It always amazes me how these things are not, they're happening with people from random cities in North Dakota, but this is right here for you. It's tailor-made. It's built in. You don't have to do anything. You just say, okay, call the producers, line up your guests and set a camera up, and it's a number one TV show. But I don't know why we are always, considering this show is on television, you would expect maybe somebody is watching it elsewhere. No? No? Oh, those are television executives for you? Okay. I don't know what else we have to do to put our callers on where's Netflix? Where's Hulu? Oh, they're owned by our company. I'm sorry. Glenn is up next in Mobile. Hello, Glenn.
Hey, no complaining from me. I'm just happy to be alive still.
I feel the same way.
Well, I had a major heart attack last year. I was about 10 seconds away from the eternal dirt nap, and the emergency room doctor saved my life, so I'm happy about that.
Well, that's fantastic.
Quick shout out to Matt. His urinary tract problem, if he drinks a lot of iced tea, can lead to kidney stones. He might want to back off on the sweet tea. Just a quick story. I tried to call you when Coach Knight passed away with a quick story about Coach Knight. When I was about 10 years old, I got to see the Ohio State Buckeyes on TV, a wobbly old black and white, win the national championship game with John Havlicek, John Lewis, and the little general as the stars of the show.
Oh, yeah.
A few days later, they had a meet and greet, and I got to meet him. He said, hey, kid. He said to me, hey, kid, whatever you do, make sure you hook up with a good team. Fast forward 21 years later, I was working for a major Fortune 500 company. We were trying to decide who to come in to talk about team building. And we got Bobby Knight. The next day, for motivational speakers, we had these two fine coaches together, Woody Hayes and Bo Schembechler.
Oh, man.
You want to talk about a week of inspiration from those three characters. Now, Bobby Knight was starting to have some of his problems with ranting and raving, but even so, he was a man of integrity. He would do motivational speeches for anybody. I mean, he did it for high school marching bands. You name it, he did it for them.
Glenn, what was his major thesis when he talked to people?
I'm trying to remember. It's been 47 years ago. Basically, it was that you're only as good as the weakest link in your chain, is basically what it boiled down to.
That makes sense.
And he said, and if you have to build up the least among you to be the very best among you and constantly work to that goal. Then to have Coach Hayes and Schembechler, who supposedly hated each other but really loved each other like brothers. The next day, it was just an amazing, amazing 2 days. He was a very kind man. You never saw that side of Coach Knight. He did a lot for charity and different things, and a lot of people remember him for his fiery on-court. But he was good to little kids. He loved little kids, and he would just encouraged little kids every time he had a chance to be one. So I just wanted to shout that out, that he was just a wonderful person to be around, as was Coach Jim Beckler and Coach Hayes. They were both great guys, too. That's when the Big Ten had men of quality running their programs, not like what they have today. I'm sorry to say, yeah, the Big Ten is not what it was.
It's amazing that Jim Harbaugh, the son of a coach who played for Schembechler, turned out the way he did. Hey, thank you very much for the call. We really do appreciate it. James is up next. Hello, James.
How you doing, Paul?
Okay, thank you.
Hey, I hear a bunch of callers talk about ACC, but why does the SEC have a losing record this year against ACC if it's so weak?
I don't know, James. Why don't you tell us?
I'm asking you. I mean, the games are being played.
I'm going to hurt your feelings here by saying I really don't care what the record is, because it has no bearing on who the four best teams in the country are, what happened between Texas A&M and Miami and Vanderbilt and Wake Forest.
So what is the criteria used for best?
Well, there's a number of data points, as you well know, and I think ultimately
I heard you say yesterday.
I won't be able to finish my sentence. Go ahead.
I heard you say yesterday that you watched Alabama play and they look one way and you watched Florida State play. Well, would you not agree that if you watched Alabama against South Florida with their backup quarterback playing against, comparing it to Florida State playing against Louisville, and neither team's quarterback would be starting in the playoff game, would that not be a better comparison?
I don't know. Really never thought about it.
Okay. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. You can tell where that conversation was going. Yeah. That's like, remember, like you're in high school and you pick up somebody at their house. Before you get to the car, you realize it's going to be one of those nights. We are back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
And Clint is up next in Kansas. So hello, Clint. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Really excited to talk to you.
Thank you.
Hey, I've been seeing Ric Flair, the nature boy, has been talking a lot of heat to you. But does he realize he's dealing with the 18-time national champion? To be the man, you got to beat the man. And Ric and Harbaugh and Brady, feel free to come on Feinbaum if you're going to throw all that heat. Because we're the Rolex-wearing, piss-stealing, wheeling-dealing, son-of-a-gun, and I'm having a hard time keeping these alligator shoes off my feet. Woo!
Thank you, Clint. Bubba is up next.
What's shaking, Paul?
Bub.
Randy, hey, you blackballed Ric Flair from your show, didn't you?
We did, yes. That was before he started coming after us.
What about D. Snyder? Didn't you have a round with that freak one time?
Yeah, we he had. Remember when he said that John Rocker couldn't use his song coming out of the bullpen?
Yeah.
That was a long time ago, and he came on our show, and
he was threatening to throw down with you, wasn't he?
Yeah, he said he was going to come down. I said, "Come on down. I'll pick you up at the airport. Just let me know what time you'll be here."
Yeah, he would have tripped in his high heels getting off the plane. I don't think it would have worked out.
Whatever happened to him?
Hey, I want to know what kind of crap Elliot was talking about. Georgia was overrated all year. Did I hear him say that correctly?
That is correct.
Yeah, well, let me ask you how strong the ACC is when your team won the ACC championship and you beat the other team with your third-string quarterback.
That's a good point.
And didn't beat them by a lot. I mean, come on, guys. Not only did that team you beat get beat by middle-of-the-road Kentucky team from the SEC, Do you think Alabama would have went to Atlanta and knocked off Georgia with their third string quarterback?
I don't even know if they have a third string quarterback anymore.
I don't either, Paul. But they're not beating Georgia with the third string quarterback, son. I'm telling you.
No.
They're talking about the SEC has fallen off. The SEC has not fallen off. There may be a few teams that have caught up somewhat, but the SEC has not gone anywhere, son.
Well, the CFP committee ranked five SEC schools in the top 13. What else do you need to know?
Exactly. That's probably not even counting Texas, is it?
Well, no, that's 14. And I think Oklahoma might make 15. The problem is that there is a small group of people who regurgitate these insane talking points. And by the way, by Friday... You don't think I've heard all that by now? I mean, I heard it all by Sunday morning.
Well, Legend was right. All these keyboard warriors on Twitter and X and Facebook and whatever, they're ridiculous, man. They don't even know football. I've watched every football game I could watch this year, and I can tell you Florida State was not one of the four best teams at the end of the season. Ray Charles could see that. I don't know why they can't accept that.
Well, you know who I blame, Bubba, for this whole controversy?
Who's that?
Billy Napier. Because if Billy Napier had done what I personally thought he would do and beat a slightly better than average FSU team in his house, then we wouldn't have this problem. And there's a good chance that maybe Georgia would have gotten in. But... Billy Napier let all of us down. And Billy, I'm sorry. I know you're going through tough times. I know you got a lot of roster issues, but it is your fault.
Hey, they're bailing out at Florida quick. What do you think Napier's future looks like?
You're in North Carolina. What's the sky look like today?
It's blue, so you think his future looks pretty blue, huh?
It doesn't matter what the sky is. It could be blue, gray, cloudy. It looks the same to me.
Yeah, they're bailing out of there at a record rate. I don't see him making it through next year, honestly. And I don't think he's a bad guy. I don't think he's a terrible guy.
Doesn't matter. We're not hiring a Boy Scout leader here.
Hey, I got one more question, Paul. And you're the man to answer this. If Jim Harbaugh leaves for the NFL... Who does Michigan go after for a football coach?
Sherrod Morris, the assistant coach who had that meltdown after the Penn State game.
Okay. Well, you guys have a great weekend. Thank you.
Thank you, yeah. Mr. Assistant Coach will get the job. I don't see how they can deny him. I mean, he won three games. He beat Ohio. I mean, He's 3-0 as an interim head coach, and two of his wins are against Penn State and Ohio State. That's the resume that will get him the job. Brad is up next in Macon, Georgia. Hello, Brad.
Hey, Mr. Paul. How are you, brother?
We are doing great.
Can I address Jay from Mobile?
Yes, please.
Okay. I called in Tuesday and gave credit to Nick Saban all the way down to the janitor. And also the Georgia fans, you know, some of them make excuses, some of them don't, but I don't. And I'm trying to become a regular caller, even though it's kind of hard to get in sometimes. But But, Jay, not all of us are the same, and I don't make excuses. My dad taught me a little bit better than that. He just told me when I got my butt beat to work a little bit harder. Maybe next time the result will be a little different. So, but, Mr. Paul, can we play Feinbaum's favorite five? Can we do that real quick?
By all means.
Can we do 60 seconds on the clock, and you do get a bonus question, and okay, all the questions are subjective?
Okay, I will concentrate here.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Favorite college to visit during football season?
Now, yeah, hold on a second. I have to stop you. Don't you, Randy, you know where I'm going here. That, you know, we don't,
okay,
we don't choose favorite places to go here.
Okay. So you're not going to do any of the Feinbaum's favorite?
Well, I mean, I'd do another one. Let's try another one.
Okay,
Start the clock.
Here we go. You ready? Here we go. Feinbaum's favorite non-analyst to work with.
Randy.
Okay. Feinbaum's favorite analyst to work with.
Randy.
Make it easier. Feinbaum's.
Hey, by the way, I'd rather answer my favorite campus than my favorite ESPN analyst.
Well, if you didn't say Laura, she'd probably, next time she saw you, she'd probably handle you, Mr. Paul.
Well, Laura, I look at Laura as a host, not an analyst.
Well, I'll tell you what, here's what we'll do. And this is the funniest part. I'm going to do an imitation of one of your callers, and you got to guess who it is. How about
okay,
that?
Let's do that.
You ready?
Yes.
Are you ready? Okay, here we go. You hear me? You hear me? You hear me, Feinbaum? Damn you, Feinbaum. You hear me?
That would be, who is Jerome?
That is correct, sir. And you have won nothing, and you will lock it.
And you have been a completely forgettable caller. Thank you. I'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.